Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and it is great to be back with you again this morning. The world, of course, as all of us know, is still a little uncertain, with wars, assassination attempts, governments changing, as well as our own country trying to work out how this government of national unity will work. But in spite of all of that, there are amazing and good people in the world and in South Africa. On Thursday for Mandela Day, we had the privilege of going into a very different community and helping. I was involved in the counselling garden and the library, and it was truly gratifying and humbling to be able to do something for those people, and it put my own concerns and worries into perspective. Even with a church roof that needs repair and a hall roof that's fallen in, we have so much to be grateful for. In fact, we have so much. Maybe that's where I should stop. It reminds us not to be critical of others, that we are all of equal value, and that just because someone is different doesn't make them wrong and doesn't mean that we have the right to judge them. As we continue in the Gospel of Mark, I'm going to move now into Mark chapter 7 and the first part of chapter 8 today. And I think we need to keep this in mind because it's not just the Pharisees that are critical, but even within our own church communities, we can be judgmental and value human rules over God and God's people, and we need to be wary of that. So reading from chapter 7, and I'm going to pause as I go through it and share as I go through the readings, we read that the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, and they saw that some of his disciples were eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Now the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come back from the marketplace, they do not eat, we're told, unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law go to Jesus and they say, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" And Jesus replies, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, you hypocrites. For it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" And he said, "You've let go of God's commands and you're holding on to human traditions." And you can imagine that probably wasn't well received. And then he continued and said, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." And he explained to them Moses' law, which said, "Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to death." But he said that you've decided, this is your human rule, that if anyone declares that they might be used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. So if they decide that what they're using or what they have is korban, that is for God, then it doesn't matter if their mother and father have nothing. This is what Jesus is criticizing them for. And he says, "Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. And you do many things like that," says Jesus. Now I'm going to stop there for a moment because what is happening here? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are looking for ways to discredit Jesus. We need to remember that they don't like him. They don't like what he says. They also want to discredit his disciples, and so they are looking for something to criticize. And I always say, if you're looking for that, that's what you're going to find. In every person, there is a flaw or fault. So if your eyes are looking for something to criticize, you're going to find that within that person. But if you look for God in that person, you will see them differently. So they criticize the way the disciples are eating with unclean hands. But we need to ask, and this is a very important question, unclean according to whom? I know people who've left churches because someone decides that perhaps tattoos are wrong, or the way that a person is dressed is wrong. Some traditions you can't wear trousers as a woman, you have to wear skirts. And then people will leave that church because they're being criticized for that. Jesus points out that in fact the Pharisees aren't obeying all of God's laws, so why should his disciples then obey human laws and human tradition? What for me he's really saying is that they've become so focused on what they think is right that they aren't even hearing God anymore. With the turmoil that's going on in the world, I think it's becoming more and more important for us as people of faith to stick together in God, to be one in God, and not let our human laws cause us to be divided and critical. It's a reminder to me when I find myself judging or being critical to stop, step back, try to understand and learn, and to remember we are all loved by God, and in fact we need to be radically welcoming and a loving community. Remember that hymn, and it always just speaks to me. They will know we are Christians by our love. How do people recognize Christ? Through the love that we share as a community. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, Here I Am to Worship.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
Here I Am to Worship on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You are listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And welcome if you've just joined us. We're moving on in Mark chapter 7. We've just seen the Pharisees and the teachers of the law judging Jesus' disciples for eating without doing the ritual cleaning of their hands, and Jesus' response, asking them how they can criticize people for not obeying human laws when they aren't obeying God's laws. We read now from verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of the person that defiles them." After he left the crowd and entered the house, a disciple said to him, What is this parable about?" And he said, "Are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of their body." In saying this, we are told Jesus declared all foods to be clean. And he went on and said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come." And he goes on to say these evils come from inside and defile a person. And it reminds me of a story I once read about a lady who put choc chip cookies on her pastor's desk. And she left a note saying that, "I made these with love, but I just added a little bit of my dog's dirt into the mixture. You're not going to taste it. It doesn't matter. I'm sure it's not going to worry you." So the pastor obviously contacted her and said, "What on earth is this about? Why are you doing this?" And she said, "When someone in the community is doing something wrong, the whole community is defiled." Now I want to move that to us, to ourselves. Obviously, we're not perfect. We know we're not perfect, but we have to at times, and I think every single day, I say, "Lord, forgive me for what I haven't done. Lord, forgive me for what I have done that's not according to your will. And Lord, wash me clean." And I think that's what's important, that we need to ask God to renew our minds and hearts, to ask God to share God's own heart with us, that we are moved by the things that move God's heart, so that we are not looking outward at others to criticize, but rather within and asking for healing and cleansing from within so that we can see God in others as we move out. In this reading now from Mark chapter 7, we move to another healing story, the healing of a Syrophoenician woman's daughter. And this is again a very interesting story for us to look at, because it would have made the disciples critical that he was healing a Syrophoenician's daughter. And even Jesus' response makes us think. Jesus left that place, we're told. He went to the vicinity of Tyre, and he entered a house there and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. So he's constantly moving to try and find space for himself. And in fact, we're told as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria, Phoenicia. And we are told this to make sure we understand she was not an Israelite. So we're told very clearly who she was. She's Greek. She's not a Jew. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Jesus' reply is quite shocking when we think of how he reached out to all. But maybe he was testing her. I mean, there are a whole lot of theories of why he responded like this. Also, remember, he responded to his mom when she asked him to turn the water into wine. He said, "My time has not yet come." And maybe right now he felt his time was just for the Jewish people. So he says, "First, let the children eat all they want." So maybe that's why he's saying, "I'm just here for the Jews now. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And as I said, he's saying, "I'm here for the Jewish people, not for you at this time." And the Jewish people need to be healed first. They need to be fed first. But instead of taking offense, which would have been a normal human response, she replies in the following way. She says, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And because she doesn't take offense, she's perhaps just desperate, and just asks him to please do it. He actually heals the daughter. But I believe that we can all learn from this response. I'm not sure if it's just me or if you've noticed it too, but people seem to be so quick to take offense. Tempers flare so easily. Road rage is on the increase. We need to see how this mother responds. So that is an insult, really, that Jesus gave her. But she doesn't respond in anger, but she responds with grace. And because of that, Jesus heals her daughter. He leaves that area, he goes through to Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of Decapolis. If he was looking for some time out from the crowd, it doesn't happen. There are some people who bring him a man then who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they beg Jesus to place his hands on them. And he takes this man aside, away from the crowd, he puts his fingers in the man's ears. Then we are told that he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, "Be opened." At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus then commands him not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He's done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. I'm going to look at these two healings in a bit more depth, but first on the Mighty Hot 102.7, let your living water flow over my soul.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Let your living water flow over my soul on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning, you are listening to Sunrise with Shona. And we've just read of the healing of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter and the man who had a hearing impediment and who couldn't speak. And I just want us to note that while both people are healed, I really want us to see this. Jesus does it in different ways. The one, he just speaks healing to the mom. "Your daughter's healed because of the way you answered me. Now go home to your daughter." To the man, he touches him, puts his hands in his, or his fingers in his ears. He even uses his spittle. And it's just a reminder to me that there's no one way for healing to take place. Healing is God's, and it happens in God's way. We call to be faithful and to ask in trust and faith for that healing. We move now into Mark chapter 8, and what we see here is a wonderful miracle of the feeding of 4,000 people. So we're told during those days, another large crowd gathered. So these crowds are following Jesus wherever he goes. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus calls his disciples to him and says, "I have compassion for these people." And I love that because Jesus has compassion for you and I. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, let's not forget that Jesus loves us and has compassion for us. And he said, "They've already been with me 3 days and they've had nothing to eat." Can you imagine that? Been following him for 3 days. If I send them home hungry, they're going to collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. And his disciples, of course, say, "We're in a remote place. How can we get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asks. "Seven," they reply. So Jesus tells the crowd to sit on the ground. He takes the 7 loaves, he gives thanks, he breaks them, gives it to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they do so. Then they also have a few small fish. So he gives thanks for that and says to the disciples, "Go and give this to the people as well." The people eat and are satisfied. I want us to really hear this. Jesus has compassion. He meets them in their place of need. They eat and are satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples pick up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that are left over. Not only are they satisfied, but they're leftovers. And about 4,000 were present, we're told. And after that, he sent them away. He got in his boat. And obviously, he went off to another region to try and get a break, one would think, from these people who are following him. But the Pharisees come and begin to question him. To test him, they ask him for a sign from heaven. And he sighs deeply and says, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he leaves them, gets back in the boat, and crosses to the other side. Now I have to wonder, and I'm wondering if you feel the same, what greater sign are the Pharisees looking for? They've seen a deaf person and a person who was mute being healed. They've seen a Syrophoenician's daughter being healed. They've actually witnessed many healings. 4,000 people have just been fed with 7 loaves and a few fish, and their leftovers. But perhaps we need to heed the warning and remember that we need to walk in faith and not always by sight. If I'm struggling with God, if I'm saying, "Where is God in this? What is happening?" I often then reflect back on my life, and I'm amazed at how many miracles I've had the privilege of witnessing or experienced myself directly from God. And I think it is always good to look back for those miracles and not to ask God for a sign now. We need to walk in faith, as I said, and not by sight. When I find myself in a challenging space, and I think perhaps you are, looking back moves me into a stronger place of faith. One cannot help but trust God when we think of all the miracles around us. And this miracle, the feeding of the 4,000, reminds us of the abundance of God's provision. God didn't just feed the 4,000, they were leftovers. So if we look at all these readings today and ask, who is God? What do we see? Who is this living God that we serve? I think what I see is that Jesus or God longs for us to stop looking at others through the power of the Spirit to cleanse our hearts and minds and to be one, one with God, one with each other, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. We need to look at others and see God present in others. We also see very clearly that God is a healer in multiple ways for all people, and that God provides us from the abundance of his heavenly kingdom and not from the lack within this earthly reign. I pray that you have a wonderful week. I pray that you will experience God's love and healing and provision this week. May God bless you and all those you love and pray for. Thank you so much for listening. To wrap up this morning, glorify thy name and majesty, worship his majesty on the Mighty Hot 1027. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.